You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm one of your hosts, Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is...
Tristan Riddell and...
Lori Sears.
And this week, we are returning to our in-depth character analyses, and this week, we have the lucky break, maybe, of discussing the forever ensign, Harry Kim.
Woohoo!
Oh, Harry.
Harry.
Everybody's favorite ensign.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he is, because he was an ensign for a very, very long time, as we all know. And he really did try to not be an ensign. It just wasn't in the cards, though.
No.
But let's talk about that in just a moment. Let's start where we always do for To the Journey and start at the beginning. I want to know what your guys' first impressions are when we first got to know our new green Voyager ops manager. So, Lori, what were your first impressions?
You know, honestly, when he was in that bar, in Quark's bar, and Quark was, you know, trying to sell him a bill of goods, the first thing that came into my mind was, he really reminds me of Wesley Crusher. He really, really did. Except... not with the smarts. But that's okay. That was fine. He was cute and naive and green and just kind of pitiful and needed to be rescued.
By Tom.
Yeah, that was sweet and sort of endearing. So that was my first impression. Naive, yet sweet.
Okay. Tristan, what about you?
Well, I honestly can't say that I thought of Wesley Crusher, but now I don't think I'll ever... be able to watch Caretaker without thinking of Wesley Crusher.
That cannot be unseen.
Yeah. I really liked Harry when... I really liked him in Caretaker. I thought he was a strong character. He was definitely naive, but I thought his introduction was fantastic because it showed right off the bat, okay, these two guys are going to be buddies. They're going to look out for each other. And it was really nice to kind of have the passing of the torch with Quark on DS9 to the Voyager crew. And... the whole storyline with Belana and Harry. I mean, I felt like, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be a good character. He has a lot of stuff going for him in Caretaker. And then they didn't really use him that well. So my first impression was, yeah, this is going to be good. Like, this guy has a future ahead of him. He's going to rise fast.
Mm-hmm. So much for that. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I really liked Harry from the get-go. I thought he was going to be a great breakout character in the beginning. I really liked him in Caretaker, and of course, I loved the fact that Tom and Harry were going to be the bromance of Voyager. You saw that from the very beginning that it was going to happen. I thought, fantastic. These guys are great for each other. That's going to be fun. And being fairly young, I mean, I was in my early adolescence when Voyager premiered. With him being the young guy, I thought, oh, maybe I'll identify with him the most. And thank goodness I didn't. I thought for a fleeting moment, I thought, you know, yeah, he's kind of cute. Maybe I'll look up to him as he grows and as I'm going through my life. Maybe we'll grow together. That'd be really cute. Well, I grew, but Harry didn't. Not that much, anyway.
Well, that's really weird, because when I was a 16-year-old boy, I most identified with Seven of Nine. So I think that's interesting how that went. Yeah.
That, wow, Freud could have such a heyday with that, Tristan.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm just saying it like it
All
is.
All right. Well, when we do our Seven of Nine analysis, we'll get right into the heart of that matter. Okay. So we had really good first impressions of Harry, and then it sounds like as the show went on, our opinions kind of went downhill a little bit, and if nothing else, stagnated. Yes?
Well, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people have extreme hatred towards Harry, and I never understood hatred towards Harry. Like, okay, even though I don't dislike Neelix, I get it. I understand how he could come off as annoying to people. I really get it. I don't feel that way, but I understand it. With Harry, I don't really understand the annoyance. I mean, he kind of started off strong and then just kind of fell to the background and had some crappy episodes, but it never gave you a motivation to dislike the character, more so just dislike Harry Kim episodes.
Yes, yes. There's a very good distinction to make there.
All right.
Yeah, at least that's how I felt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That makes sense.
Because really, I mean, if I knew Harry in real life, I would probably like him.
Sure.
He's a good friend. Mm-hmm. He's caring. He's considerate.
Smart.
Yeah, he is smart. He might be a little naive, and he might not have the best social graces, but that doesn't make him a bad person.
He's a family guy. He really loves his family. He's Mr.
He does.
Musical creativity. I mean, mm-hmm. He's a likable person, but yeah.
So obviously he got a lot of dates because he sounds like a really well-rounded individual, right?
He was a winner there.
Right?
I mean, yeah, he sounds really great on paper, but then on Voyager, as we all know, he did not have the best luck with the ladies.
No.
I don't know, man. Something was out of sync with this guy. He could not get a girl if she was just naked in front of his face.
Which Seven of Nine almost was.
There you
and
go.
And he turned her down. She said, okay, we're going to have sex. Take off your clothes. And he's like, no, thank you. Screw you, buddy. Okay.
I think you and every other heterosexual male was just screaming at Harry, what are you doing, you fool?
That was crazy.
It's not even like he's taking advantage of her or anything. It's just, she's like, no, why don't we do this? It's fine. Like, we'll explore.
Yeah.
You know?
She wants to copulate. Go for it.
And he got too nervous and punked out. And so like, let's go through the list of the pale infatuations and romances. So,
oh, gosh. Okay. What a long list.
The way that Tom does repeatedly.
Yes,
but
at least Tom ends up with a great gal and sticks with
her. No, I mean Tom lists Harry's failures over and over. Yes.
You can always count on our best friends to throw our failures in our faces.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so you got to start at the top with Libby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't get to see her for 7 years, so he had to put that relationship on hold. And they were engaged, right?
Yes, I believe they were.
I don't know. They were in non sequitur, but I don't know if they were in reality. Were they?
I had the impression that they were.
But would they have had two engaged relationships on the show with Catherine and Mark?
Why not? I don't know, but he always did refer to her as his girlfriend.
He never said
if
fiance.
If he was engaged, wouldn't he say fiance? Yeah.
Okay, so I just looked it up. They were not engaged, but they did live together, so things were obviously serious.
Okay, so chances are that he was going to propose at any moment. We could assume that.
We can assume that. So, but that relationship, like I said, had to be put on hold. And then I think the relationship after that was the hologram that wasn't really a hologram, but an alien woman in a cloud or in a nebula or something like that.
Yeah. That's the next one.
Mm-hmm. Who really went for Tuvok. Yeah. That was a shame.
Yes.
How harsh is that?
That's bad,
like,
man.
The dude is married, literally emotionally cold. And still a better attractive mate than Harry Kim, the young, free guy.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ooh, cold.
Poor Harry. Mm-hmm. That is a tough break. Then he goes to the planet where all the ladies smack him with phallic objects. Favorite son.
I'm sorry, what? I missed that scene.
I don't remember the phallic objects either.
They had staffs. They just knocked the staffs up and down. They never smacked him with it.
Okay, well, whatever it was.
Well, I guess they did. Okay, they took the staffs and then hit him at the end, but it wasn't phallic.
Okay, if you say so.
If I say so.
Different opinion. So then there was that whole thing, sort of, because they were trying to basically get him to procreate.
Yeah. Didn't we skip that girl from, what was that called? The creepy pleasure guy? The girl that he went
other...
Udonna! We forgot about her! Yeah. She was very direct. I mean, he totally could have hit the sack with her if he would have wanted to, I guess.
Yeah. And they were all about pleasure. This is not at all pleasurable.
Right. Yeah, getting turned down for a hard offer for sex is not pleasurable.
No.
Harry.
No, Harry. Oh, Harry.
Yeah. Not only does he refuse sex, but then he also gets in the way of Janeway. getting it on with creepy pleasure guy, Gath.
But I have to say thank you.
That's two.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you for sparing us that.
I suppose,
gross.
Yeah, that would have been... Janeway would have felt really dirty after that one.
Mm. And then we had Lindsay Ballard.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
Who then became a Kabali in Ashes to Ashes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's right.
Which I always felt like that... That episode could have been a little better.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was potential there.
I would have liked to have explored that relationship a little bit more. Like, I would have liked mm-hmm. to have, that have been the focus.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Show some flashbacks even of what they went through and why they were so close and everything.
Mm-hmm. That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
I would have much rather have seen that than what we got in the episode.
Yeah.
Or, like, even have half of the episode take place in that time period and then it goes, like, 5 years later, you know, or something like that. And then you have to say it in that voice. I don't know why.
I liked your first idea better, though.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot of fleshing out they could have done with that, and it mm-hmm. just, no, didn't get anything, yeah. really.
Then you had the terrorist, Irina, in Drive.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Oh, we're forgetting the cow.
Right.
Stayed in Fairhaven.
Yes.
What was her name?
It was Maggie. Yeah.
Maggie.
Maggie, that's right. And Char, I believe that was in Spirit Folk.
I meant the Fairhaven program, not the episode.
The thing that is Fairhaven. The
any time I can correct you on a Fairhaven fact, I will go for it.
Any opportunity, you take advantage of it. And right.
And then of course seven of nine when he turns her down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fool. Unbelievably. Yes.
It doesn't get much worse than that, man.
And we're forgetting one really important one, and it's one that Char loves to bring up. So, which one is it?
Isn't it Herpes Lady? Space Herpes
it's
Lady?
It's Herpes Lady, Varro, yeah.
Yes. Yep, she awesome. Gave him the space herpes.
Well, Varro was the species, that's right. It was Darren Tall, I think was her name.
Yes, thank you. Yes, lovely lady. Just has an outbreak every now and again.
Yes, she does.
And different parts that didn't line up quite right.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you meddle with alien species and interstellar transmittable diseases.
The dude, he has sex for the first time in the Delta Quadrant, and he ends up getting an intergalactic STD. He's like Toby on The Office. Okay, he can't catch
yes,
a break.
Yes,
he is. Oh my
he
god.
He is the Toby of the Delta Quadrant. That's what it is.
Oh my god, that's fantastic, dude.
I'm actually kind of glad that they mentioned that. Like, it's, you know, if you think about it, that's kind of weird. But you got to think about this. Just because they're humanoids doesn't mean that they're built the exact same way. And also, I'm glad that even though it feels like it seems awkward, like I love that the doctor brought up and said, you know that it's protocol to get permission to mate with somebody of another species from me first. And when I first heard that, I was like, what business is it of yours? And then I started thinking about it. You have no idea what could have happened.
Yes.
This is true, but this was, I believe, the first time we'd heard of such a thing.
Yes. So... Except for in Star Trek The Undiscovered Country, where Kirk kicks the dude in the knees of what he thought was his knees.
Yeah.
And then the shapeshifter's like, not all of us keep our genitals in the same place, Captain.
Right. No, I meant mating between species.
You're talking about like mating and getting
permission.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. This is the first time.
Yeah. So it felt like it came out of nowhere because, I mean, gosh, look at what Kirk was doing on his 5-year mission.
For real.
In the name of exploration. Okay.
Kirk had to have been the entire reason why that was put into protocol.
Maybe
that
so.
That makes sense.
That would have been hysterical if the doctor said, all of us know the Kirk protocol, okay?
Yeah. Poor Bones. He had to treat a lot of cases of many things on Kirk's nether regions.
Oh, God.
It's like the Miranda rights. Like, it's named after the guy who had his last name
Kirk
of Miranda.
Protocol.
Yeah,
the Kirk
there
protocol.
You go. Oh,
and we all
God.
Know what it means. I like that. You're coming up with good stuff there, Tristan. I like it.
I don't know what to title this episode. It's,
So much to choose from.
So much to choose from.
A lot of candidates. I have them written down. But now that we've had our say about the space herpes, because it was inevitable, let's move on.
Had to happen to somebody.
And I want to bring up an important question because I think, Had Harry not been serving aboard Voyager, he would not have been an ensign for 7 years. Because the guy is smart. In Non Sequitur, he was designing a brand new runabout. So, even though he's socially awkward, he's very academically and textbook smart, you would say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think he would have probably been promoted a lot sooner than simply getting home. I think what held him back was simply the fact that you can't make everybody raise up in rank on a starship of 150 people. You have to have kind of like this hierarchy still.
Yeah.
It's a tight command structure, yeah. Especially with the Maquis coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes it even more complicated.
Yeah, but one guy. I mean, come on. And that was just like the running joke the whole time, eventually.
Yeah, you're right, Lori. I mean, they could have at least thrown him a bone or something. I remember there was a conversation that Harry had with Captain Janeway where he said, he's like, if we weren't stuck in the Delta Quadrant, I could be a lieutenant or even a lieutenant commander by now. And at that point, I was like, oh, okay. All right, Harry.
Yeah.
Let's take it down a notch. Lieutenant Junior grade, okay? That's probably more realistic for you, sweetheart.
I was going to give him Lieutenant Senior grade. I feel like in 7 years, I think he could have made it up 2 ranks. Because
okay.
Of
yeah
the dude designed astrometrics.
He yeah. did do that. That's true.
And, hey, come on, anybody else working in the Alpha Quadrant who would do that would be a lieutenant at least.
Yeah,
at right? least yeah,
that's true.
And with Tom being able to be demoted and then promoted again, keeping the same rank, Harry could have at least been promoted to lieutenant junior grade or senior grade.
Yeah. I do feel that Harry might have gotten just a little bit shortchanged because of that whole thing. If you're mm-hmm. going to re-promote Tom Paris, throw him a bone, huh?
Yes, yeah. yes.
Come on, after all that he does, and he saved the ship a few times, I mean, yeah. The dude did earn it.
Didn't he say something like, I didn't see any pips on my chair? I'm going, yes. Dude, you don't even have a chair. What's up with that? Come on. Give him a chair.
He does have a tiny chair. You just never see him.
Right. I don't even know if he's down. Really sitting down most of the time. He's always standing.
Yeah, Tuvok actually has a chair too, but you very rarely see him sit mm-hmm. down.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was going to bring that up too, Lori, because he was way too calm and generous when he said that. He was just like, I didn't see one of those on my chair. I would have been like, hey, this is bullcrap.
Yeah. What about me?
The dude was demoted and then promoted in the same year. Okay, basically.
Yeah, Captain, can I see you in your ready room? Permission yeah. to speak frankly. What the hell?
I'm going to have my mom call you.
Oh, yeah. God, that was so funny.
Oh, I loved it when they were talking and she, yeah, do I need to talk to this Captain Janeway?
Tell her to be expecting a letter. Don't write her, Mom! Don't do that!
That's so awesome. And a mom would totally do that, too.
She totally would,
especially if an only child, which Harry was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we need to talk about which Harry are we talking about here?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, does Harry's mom know that when she reunited with Harry after 7 years, that it wasn't really kind of Harry?
See, we've had so many different versions of Harry. We've had original Harry, duplicate deadlock Harry.
Mm-hmm.
We've had timeless Harry.
Mm.
Yes.
We've had silver blood Harry.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's 4 right there.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just one character.
Yeah. And this brings up the fact that aside from all of these incarnations, Harry likes to die or almost die repeatedly.
True. True.
Like,
even in season 1, there was
Emanations,
thank you, where he sort of dies and comes back to life mm-hmm. to get back to the ship.
That's
he
right.
He tries to get eaten up in the hologram program in Heroes and Demons.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just season 1.
That's just season 1.
Yeah.
He was also in Scorpion.
Right? He's almost demolished and eaten alive by Species 8472.
Dissolved from the inside out.
Right.
Yeah, those tendrils coming out
Only
of his nose.
Only Harry could survive that.
That's right.
Among many other serious ailments that would have killed any other ensign. It's a good thing he wasn't wearing a red shirt.
He'd have been toast.
Day 1. I mean, even in Caretaker, he almost died. those weird fungus thingies that were growing on he and Bellana.
That's right.
Yeah. So even on day one, the dude was screwed. I mean, he was just destined to die. Or so it seemed.
I forgot to mention this when we were talking about his rank, and I want to say it now, even though we moved on. I wanted to do it before I forgot. I forgot that in the relaunch series, in the Voyager relaunch series, was he promoted just to lieutenant junior grade, or was he jumped to and became a full lieutenant? Do you remember?
I don't know. Oh, gosh.
I probably need to reread Homecoming for that.
I think he was. I think a lot of people were jumped two ranks in that book because of the time that they spent. And so I think that's why I thought he would at least be a lieutenant senior grade by then.
Right.
So yeah, like if you go by the apocrypha of the relaunch novels, he finally makes it to the rank that he should have had early. So, okay, but sorry to go back to what we were talking about.
But that was a really good point to make. Yes, he finally did get promoted, almost like, the retroactively in a way. Yeah, okay, you were in this a long time ago, but here you go.
Here you go.
little too late, but nevertheless. Okay, one other thing stands out as a reason to promote Harry, because not everybody gets to sit in the center chair, and Harry did.
That's right.
You remember Future's End? And didn't he captain the Night Watch?
He did, a couple of nights a week. That's right. That's what he said he did.
And we can't forget the Nightingale.
That's right.
Oh, we cannot.
That horrible, horrible episode.
Which I would rather forget.
Yes. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I like that he decorated his ready room. That was hilarious. That green ready room.
They were
going to
be there for 3 days, and he decorated it and brought on his musical instruments and everything.
Yeah, a little much.
It really was.
Even for Harry, like, I feel like the writers knocked him around a lot, but even for Harry, that was weird.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he has enthusiasm, but not that much.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I kind of wonder if the writers just really weren't sure what to do with him. Because when he wasn't with Tom, he wasn't that interesting. And a lot of the episodes that feature Harry, that are Harry-centric, are not that good.
No.
The only Harry-focused episode I can think of, and it wasn't even a Harry-focused episode, was Timeless.
Yeah, I don't consider that a fully Harry episode either, because it's kind of like half Chakotay, half Harry. I would say that's his best outing right there.
Yeah, I'd say definitely that's his best outing, but you can't even qualify that as a Harry-centric episode.
Right. I'm thinking things like Nightingale and The Disease, Non Sequitur, that are very much about him.
I guess The Disease was pretty good. I like The Disease.
You do?
Yeah.
I have problems with it. I guess maybe for Harry it's not so bad, because he does try to grow a backbone a little bit and stand up to Janeway, stand up for himself. But it came off to me, actually, as more, instead, oh, he's asserting himself, finally. It was like the little whiny boy hollering at his mother.
Yeah.
Sort of like if Wesley was pandering to Captain Picard.
Yeah, that's kind of how I took it, too.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever felt the way I felt before, like a whiny teenager? Are you kidding me?
That's what he was. He was a whiny teenager telling his mom, have you ever been in love before? Do you know what it's like?
You don't know how I feel.
Yeah. Go cry, emo kid.
All right, here's a rebuttal. Non sequitur. Like, I thought that was a pretty good episode.
It was okay.
No? Oh, man, I thought I had you on that one. I really like non sequitur.
No, sorry. I'm actually not a big fan of non sequitur. I think the episode is kind of boring. It's interesting it kind of to learn a little bit about Harry, but it's not really his life. It's an alternate life. It's what could have been.
Yeah. But I felt he handled it well.
Well, no, he did not handle it well, because when he can't wing it on that presentation, he's like, oh, I'm going to throw up.
I meant overall, like he was able to get back home.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I thought it was a pretty interesting sci-fi concept. Like, I think that's what really sold it for me.
Okay, I'll give you that. The concept is interesting, but I just really was not enthralled with it overall.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, Harry. What more do we want to say about the guy?
Well, in Endgame, Harry, with an alternate future, he was a full-fledged captain of a Nova-class starship, which I think is really cool.
Yes.
And it's, I think it's in the 25th century, but it was, he was on a 4-year mission, which is a long time if you think about it. And like a little girl even said, like, for 4 years. And he's like, it was a cakewalk with what I did in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, seriously.
Especially in that timeline, because they were there, I think, in the Delta Quadrant for like 33. No, not 33.
It was 23 years. Wasn't it 23 years? And because they had been back 10 years when they did that. At the start of the episode, they had already been back 10 years.
You're absolutely right. It was 23 years. Mm-hmm. 23 years in the Delta Quadrant. You're right.
Glad you remember that. I haven't watched Endgame in a while.
I like rewatching Endgame, even though I have a lot of problems with it. It makes me feel good. I don't know why. I think everybody gets their moment in the sun. Even if you don't like what they do, everybody's carefully taken care of. I like it.
Okay. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, just leave it at that, because I know you don't agree.
I have nothing to say about Endgame. Really.
Yeah.
I hate those uniforms.
Oh,
The future, yeah. The All Good Things future uniforms. Mm-hmm. I know that they've stayed true to them, like, throughout the show in Deep Space Nine, as well as in Voyager, whenever we see an alternate future.
Yeah.
But I hate them so much. They look like bad pajamas. I just...
They kind of are. They're not my favorite either, Tristan.
No. No, no. But anyway, like, and like every time I see Harry in Endgame wearing that, I'm just like, dude, put on some real clothes. This isn't the motion picture. These aren't the gems.
Step out of the jumpsuit, son.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I just don't understand how you can go from first contact in Deep Space Nine outfits to that. Like, I just... Yeah. I don't see that progression.
They're
now
ugly.
Granted, those futuristic uniforms were developed before First Contact.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, they could do better.
See, and that's why I thought, like, with All Good Things, like, that future never happened.
Right.
So why not say, okay, something completely different?
Well, yeah, they could get away with that.
I just remembered another alternate Harry with another girl.
Ooh.
He married Linus Paris.
You are correct.
He did. You're right. Yes. That was
Tom Paris's and Kes's daughter.
That was so weird.
Yeah, because that's not creepy at all.
Oh, God. And I was so confused. I had to watch that like 3 times before. Okay. So you're, and now you're what? Huh? I need a family tree. Help me.
I mean, think about it. He's marrying his best friend's daughter. Only dirty old men do that.
His best friend is now his father-in-law.
Yeah. Gross.
Gross. And on that, and maybe we should just end on that note.
I think that's a perfectly happy note.
All alternate Harrys are gross and inappropriate.
Totally. So I guess that's our episode on Ensign Harry Kim. And if you have anything that you want to say about Harry, you can go to the forums. It is trek.fm/forums, and you can chime in and have your say there. Or if you would like to write to any of us, you can go to trek.fm/contact and send us a message, and we'll receive it. And also, if you want to chat us up on Twitter, we are totally down with that. You can find me at Oh the Profanity. Tristan, where are you?
You can find me at The Insane Robin on Twitter.
All right, and Lori?
And I am at LoriS68.
All right. And one more thing before we go. We want your iTunes reviews.
Yes.
If you've not given us a 5-star iTunes review, we would very much appreciate it. That helps us with our weird magic of iTunes rankings. That gives us exposure and helps other people find the show. And they can love us as much as you love us, which would be fantastic. Share the love. So, with that said, next week, what we have in store for you is, which episodes would you want to show someone who hasn't seen Voyager or even just Star Trek at all? We're going to come up with our top choices. That's what we're going to discuss next week. But until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!